After a decade-long focus on security and counter-terrorism in Afghanistan and the Iraq War, the government is now on a well-publicised campaign to step up engagement in the near neighbourhood. It comes amid concern about China's influence and their strategic intentions in the South Pacific. How to contend with China is a key policy dilemma for the region, and one that was tackled recently when Defence Minister Stephen Smith travelled to the island kingdom of Tonga to host a meeting of his regional counterparts. The ABC's defence correspondent Michael Brissenden went along to observe.
In the South Pacific, Australian ministers are still afforded a traditional formal welcome. Stephen Smith was given a colourful shirt, and the floral necklace was placed on his slight frame with the usual Pacific reverence reserved for important guests. But these days, on the really big occasions, another Pacific power now attracts even more attention. As the King's funeral in Tonga last year proved, China is now the South Pacific's most valued VIP. The King died while he was visiting Hong Kong. The New Zealand government offered to fly the body home, but the Chinese had already arranged and paid for the charter. The Chinese president sent a special envoy, and the Chinese delegation took up the most prominent seats in the first few rows of guest seating. These days, China is the big deal in the Pacific, and as their economic engagement grows, so too does their influence. Pesi Fanua is the editor of Tonga's leading news website, Matangi Tonga.
We don't want to say it, but they're definitely calling the shots. You know, whatever they want, they can negotiate, you know, or take it.
I met Pesi Fanua at the almost empty Dateline Hotel, just across the road from the recently opened wharf built with Chinese money and Chinese labour. The Tongans were hoping to capitalise on the influx of cruise ships that can now berth next to the capital, Nuku'alofa. But as Mr. Fanua explains, the Tongans haven't yet been able to take full advantage of the investment.
It hasn't been able to produce, I mean, for example, produce jobs or revenues. I mean, the wharf is there, but we have a few cruise ships coming in, but the industry has been built up to capitalize on it. You know? So even though the investment was there, but we haven't been able to create revenue.
China first started buying into the Tongan economy in 1998, but their new regional clout has been underpinned more recently by so-called soft loans. Those loans have been extended to countries across the South Pacific, but Tonga has taken more of them than any other island nation. And as Jenny Haywood-Jones, the director of the Melanesia program at the Lowy Institute, points out, the loans have been both a boon and a burden.
Tonga is now in something of a what we would call debt distress because it's taken on these loans. And I believe Chinese loans now account for something like 60% of Tonga's external debt and 40% of its GDP, which is of considerable concern to organisations like the IMF.
It's clear that Chinese money has helped build influence as well as infrastructure. And the region's growing reliance on Chinese money is being viewed with some alarm by the US and by Australia. In defence and security terms, this has always been seen as America's sphere of influence and Australia's backyard. The rise of China is seen as one of the biggest changes to the strategic environment here in decades. And analysts like Jenny Haywood-Jones recognise the strategic concerns this is creating for some. But she says for the moment at least, the Chinese focus remains largely an economic one.
Yes, it's true to say that China's influence is increasing. It's perhaps confusing the strategic environment. But I don't think it's yet true to say that China is seeking to replace Australia or to replace the United States in the region. But certainly it's an interesting new element for the region to consider.
Other highly placed regional political sources, though, say they believe China's long-term strategy is to use its economic leverage for greater political influence. In the longer term, the Chinese will be able to say they don't quite like the idea of the US building that new military base or any other bit of military infrastructure. Many of the island nations that have borrowed are also hoping that China might one day agree to forgive the debt. But repayments are now falling due all over the South Pacific, and budget deficits are growing. It's clear to everyone involved that China is likely to have significant leverage and influence here for many years to come. This is Michael Brissenden reporting for PM.